is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 306. Happy endings, not guaranteed.
Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to yet another new episode of our wonderful weekly podcast.
Panda. Sup, peeps? What's going on?
Panda.
Hi.
Hi. How was your week?
It was okay.
What did you do?
Nothing, really.
Nothing? Really?
Well, I mean, I watched some anime, but I want to talk about it in the show, so I don't want to talk about it right now.
Dude, you did other stuff than anime this
week? I mean, I slept and I ate.
Think about it. Pictures. You went to play.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did go to a show.
It was kind of nerdy related.
Yeah, it was on the nerdcore flow.
It was all totally on the nerd-ash tip.
And I did it all by myself.
Aw, gold star for Panda. We have so much to talk about this week. I don't even know where to start.
From the beginning?
Okay, that's typically a good place to start.
If not, why not the end? Tarantino this shit.
We could do that. Was that Tarantino that did that?
He did. Sometimes he likes to start from the end of something or in the middle of something. It makes you want to catch up.
That's true. You got a point there.
Yes. I watch movies. It can be told.
Okay, so like I said, we've got a lot to talk about this week. We've got game stuff to talk about. We've got anime stuff that Panda wants to talk about. She's going to try not to cry, but that's not a guarantee.
I'm already kind of tearing up just thinking about it,
I know,
actually.
You really are. It's kind of weird.
It was really thought-provoking, but let's not talk about it now. We're going to talk about it later.
Okay, so then I should talk about my thing now, and then we can talk about your thing
later? If you want, I can go first the cry out now.
Do we want to get the cry out?
And end on a high note.
I think we should get the cry out now, and then I'll back clean up and, like, knock it out of the park.
All right, cool. Sounds like a plan.
All right, so then why don't you go ahead and do what you're going to do, Panda?
Hey! All right, so yeah, I got some anime business that I want to discuss with people this week. I watched an anime on Hulu, which
surprise.
Means you can find it for free on Hulu. You don't have to have a paid subscription. I do believe it's also on Crunchyroll.
It is, in fact, upon the Crunchyroll, because I tried to get you watch it on the Crunchyroll last season, and you're like, ugh, I don't want to watch anime right now. I'm all on my game tip. And I was like,
I know.
Okay, but...
But see, I'm a balance, though, but that's kind of what people
expect.
Yeah,
basically, if somebody not me recommends it to you, you'll do it.
No one recommended it to me. I found it.
Yeah.
By myself. Mm. That seems to be my theme this week, is by myself.
All by myself.
Anyway.
All day. On the block. Holding it down. Me. By myself.
Or die trying.
I love Kevin Hart.
Anyway. So, yes. I watched an anime this week on my Hulu account. And it's not Excel World. It's actually a magical girl anime, which...
Oh, yeah. Magical girls.
Magical girls. Oh, my God. Girls who can have really awkward transformation scenes out in public where they totally get naked.
Okay, can we... Before you get into your thing, I just want to talk about magical girl transformations for, like, just a second.
Sure,
okay?
No problem.
All right, so I watched a series where there was basically a magical boy transformation.
Was that the ginger shonen one that
you tried
to make me watch once?
Yeah, the ginkgo bishonen.
Gingers.
Yeah.
Ginkgo ginger bishonen.
Yeah, yeah. And I absolutely love the series. One, because it had mecha and it kind of reminded me the style of the mecha of Big O.
Yes.
Which
I like the Big O art style.
Love Big O. But getting back to magical people transformations.
Yes.
I get why they're there, okay? It's fan service at its core.
Yeah.
At its core, it's fan service, okay? Because any way you slice it, everyone that I've ever seen in any series that I've ever watched has always ended up this way. The person goes into some kind of transformational state. Usually stars in the universe are involved in some way.
And they're, like, super speedy. They're, like,
whizzing
around.
Everything is super speedy. All of a sudden, their clothes magically disappear. Depending upon the series that we're talking about, you either have someone's bits and bobbles clearly visible.
Like the shape? Yes.
Oh, no, clearly visible. Or you have the silhouette clearly visible, so you know what parts are...
It's like, hey, that's an arm. That's...
a boob. You know, so you know exactly what parts are uncovered at the moment that are about to be covered. Then there's a flash of the outfit on, and they pose, and then they go into what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, it's nothing new.
Yeah, it's textbook transformation.
That's textbook transformation. Even freaking Voltron had that, other than, you know, it wasn't a body that was transforming clothes, but robots transforming in, but still,
and I'll same form thing. The head.
You know, legs went into position and locked, and there was a flash, and then final pose, and then, okay, now we can go into battle. All right. My issue with magical girl transformations...
Or magical people transformations.
Magical people transformations, correct, because we want to be politically correct here on the show.
Oh, yeah, on this show, we want to be politically
correct.
We're
totally about political correctness
here.
I find it... overused, I guess is the best way to... And I'm curious how you feel about it, because, you know, I don't mind the transformation once in a half-hour episode, but... it seems like more and more there are series that I'm watching where transformations happen a couple of times in the episode.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't need to see the full transformation video every time you have to transform, especially if you're doing it multiple times
in a half hour ratio
episode. Like, I get it. I know that your clothes are going to come off and new clothes are going to go on and you're going to pose and then there's going to be a fight. Okay, fine. I get that, but I don't need to see it all the time. Like, we can fast forward. Like, I feel like, you know, like, we've already been on the date, girl. You got my money. Like, I bought the lobster. I'm cool with it. I don't have to see your boobies every single time.
Whoa, what?
No, if I buy a lobster, I don't have to see the boobies all the time.
What?
I just want to see them, like, you know, when I request
I
it.
Want to squish them. If yeah. I'm buying a bitch lobster, just, she better present them
yo,
front and
center.
I'm just
saying, I want them presented when I want them. I don't want it to just be like, and here are the titties. Like,
well, no, because sometimes titties are just not appropriate for every
this
day.
This is what I'm saying. Like, if I've gone ahead and bought it, I just want you to know that when I say, show me them titties, like, I get to
show
see
them. Show me them titties!
Okay, that's what I want. I don't want, like, them to be like, all right, here they are. Like, there's no conquest, there's no fun in that. And I feel the same way about magical girl transformations. It's just like... you know, I enjoy it when I'm not expecting it or we're leading into the big conflict thing. But it feels to me like, especially in some of the more recent series, that it's just being thrown out there because it's an easy way to catch an otaku's attention because...
oh, it definitely is, though.
I don't feel like that adds anything to a series. I feel like at that point it takes away.
It can. All right, so... here's where I sit with magical girl transformations.
Magical girl transformations.
So, I mean, the first anime that I ever really watched that had magical girl transformations was Sailor Moon.
Of course.
Which we all know, literally a good chunk.
Kyrian!
Oh, God, and Serena.
You used to fight me about that, by the way.
I know. I've grown up since then. But regardless. And Sailor Moon was, I think, revolutionary in terms of the magical girl, you know, transformation. They were. However, in a given episode, especially when all of a sudden you had four or five of them on set or in scene transforming,
yeah.
You got like 8 minutes of transformation.
No.
Which in my mind, I'd go, you do realize that the bad guy would have already like shot all of them in the head by now in the middle of their transformations because they're completely vulnerable during their transformation.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the ideal time to, oh, I don't know, trap them, and then they're naked and insecure, and they're teenage girls, so they're already insecure. Boom! Done! Bad guy wins. But of course, they can't do it that way.
No.
I haven't seen a lot of girl, like, magical girl anime or magical people anime as of now. Like,
right.
So I have had a step back from that, but I definitely understand your tension and your unease about it being a fan servicey thing and a filler.
Well,
it's a filler for
an
episode.
I think that's really where I kind of net out, is that it feels more filler to me.
It's like, oh, we don't know what we're going to have them say, so we're just going to make them transform.
Right.
And like, cut out 30 seconds that we don't have to dialogue
out. Okay, we need to fill 30 seconds because we don't have dialogue to fit here, so...
they did that in one episode of Sailor Moon.
Let's, you know, make a quick... you know, some reason for this character to need to transform so we can do the transformation piece, and then we'll end up actually not needing to fight at all because we don't have time to actually
draw that and animate
it, but then we filled the time up.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I feel, and I'm just like, you know, that makes no sense to me. Like, why do that?
I mean, let's learn how to draw, and let's try to draw a series, and then let's see how we feel about it. Because, I mean, there's two sides to every story. There are two sides to every coin. But I know in one of the Sailor Moon arcs, we had never seen Tuxedo Mask, like, transform, because he was already Tuxedo Mask when we saw him. And then we got his transformation, which was the cheapest animation ever. Like, literally, you just saw a billowy cape with stars on it and the hat magically floating over his head like a fucking boomerang.
Wait, they actually animated that?
They only gave him, like, 8 seconds. So, like, you didn't even see, like, his body
Why
naked.
Why even do it?
They really, it was filler.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, God, here's his transformation, all 8 seconds of it. But regardless, I think they didn't know how to handle a man transformation, to be honest.
Yeah, but Star Driver, they did a really good job. I mean, they basically just went, we're going to animate it as if it was a girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we do.
Yep, and they did, and it was very pretty. I remember seeing it. But anyway, that's not the magical... That's not the magical anime that I want to talk about today. So, I mean, a lot of people don't give Magical Girl anime a lot of credit because, you know, in my exposure, it came around in the early 90s. It was a girl thing. It was geared towards girls. Ooh, yeah, we're magic and powerful, woman empowerment, and we rule. Yes. However, you know, especially in the 90s, they were not aiming to really show us exactly what happens with magical girls. You didn't really deal with any of the consequences, because in the end, the girl always won.
Right.
Cardcaptor Sakura, yeah, she got beat up a little bit, but she never got horribly maimed. Her heart was never ripped out. In the end, she won. You know, Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon died several times in several of her arcs, and magically reincarnated like Jesus.
Yeah.
And she won.
Yeah. I mean, because here's the thing, right? The whole thing about Magical Girl series, to me, everyone that I've ever watched, has always been that it has to end on a positive, right? Because your core audience for your Magical Girl series are your preteen girls. So you can't...
And even some younger, depending.
Yeah, but so you can't have something that's, you know, too serious, too violent. You have to have something that has a happy ending.
Yep.
Because of the audience that it's deemed for. You know, so it never really bugged me that happened in a Magical Girl series, because I knew who the audience really was.
Right.
The audience really wasn't me.
Right.
Okay. I enjoy Magical Girl series because they're completely saccharine. And when I want something that will just kind of make me feel good, because I know what's going to happen. There's going to be some kind of thing that has to be overcome. It's going to be somewhat serious, but somewhat not. And eventually, the magical girl will overcome it, and I'll have a happy ending. And
you'll get what you want.
And I'll get what I want.
The payoff is equal to your investment.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's very formulaic, but it's a formula that's easy to follow. You know, and for when I need it and when I search it out, it does exactly what I want it to do.
Yes. Well. Well, now I found one that might actually...
I just want to say I found it first, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, she did, everyone. Just for correction, she found it, like, the year it came out, because this came out in 2011.
Yep.
So it's about a year
old. Tried to
get
you to watch it.
Tried to get me to watch it, and I was like, oh, Magical Girl anime, I'm too old for that shit.
And I was like, buh.
And now a year later, I watch it going, wow.
Yeah, okay, so let me set the stage here. I'm at my day job, and I get a text. It's like, you need to watch what Panda's about to talk about.
Yep. And
right
now. And the anime is called Madoka Magica. Or there's a longer name that I'm not going to butcher for
you. And I'm looking at the title on my text message during my day job. And I'm like, pretty sure I already watched that. All right, well, hold on. And so I text back and I'm like, okay. And I get a follow-up message. Panda never follow-up messages me.
You're lucky if I'm like, yo, what's up?
And that's that. Okay, but I get a follow-up. No, really. Tonight.
Tonight. Watch this.
To watch
it. It will change your life.
Okay, and then the follow-up message to that was, I cried like a bitch.
Yep. End quote. Panda cries like a bitch. Quote.
Yeah, so in case you didn't know that, if you're playing any kind of bingo, and you're like, does Panda cry like a bitch? If that's a box on there,
then
you can go ahead and mark that.
You can mark
because,
it with a little sticky or
with
whatever.
Your little dauber thingy or put your little paint chip on it. I don't know how you kids play your bingo these days.
They call it sex bingo.
Well, I mean...
Bingo! Anyway.
Oh my God.
This Magical Girl anime, like I said, it really did open my eyes to a brand new perspective for Magical Girl anime.
It's definitely different.
Some people want to consider it a dark subversion of Magical Girl anime, and I don't necessarily feel like it needs to be classified as such.
Yeah, but you're not one to put labels on things anyway.
I know. It's, like, so over.
Fix your glasses when you do that.
Labels are so over. Glasses adjust. Because I'm hipster like that. Mm. But I do feel like this anime allowed us to see what, if any, consequences really truly befall magical girls.
So back it up and explain it to the people. Panda, because right now they're kind of scratching
their head. They're going like, what? What happened to them?
I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? Well, I mean,
if you're already kind of thinking that this is going to be like a Higurashi no Nokoro ni type of series, oh, it's
you
not.
Can say that, but this you is, can't say yeah. Chevalier Dion. Really? Okay, go
Cavalier
ahead.
Cavalier
Dion. Dion. You sound so
Chevrolet
Wendy Williams.
Chevrolet Dion coming out in 2013.
You sound so Wendy Williams right now. I almost want to hug
How you. How you doing?
How you doing?
Anyway, so, but it's not like that. It's not dark and gory torture moe, as I like to call it.
And gory torture moe.
Yeah, because if you watch Higurashi, it's totally moe characters being
I've never
butchered.
Watched Higurashi. You've wouldn't talked about want to. It so much, and you've never hooked me up with it.
You wouldn't want to watch it. It would make
you
I throw up.
I feel like I have to because you've talked about
but
it so much.
But it would make you throw up. Like, stuff would come out of your stomach through your esophagus.
Why? I made it through Elfin Lied.
I know you did, and that chick peed. Regardless.
Okay, I made it through Bible Black.
I have to... Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I did. And I made it through Rin.
Rin wasn't so bad. That was just... Okay, yeah, okay. All right, fine. I'll give you the first three DVDs that I have.
And if I make it through the first DVD, then...
If you can make it to episode 7 without freaking out, I'll give you the rest of the series for you to watch. Because that's where I freaked out.
Okay.
But regardless, right. Magical Girls.
Magical Girls. Happy Magical Girls!
Well, sort of.
Kind
of. So in Madoka, your main character is, funny enough, named Madoka.
Ha, funny! Oh, look!
She's a cute little girl. The animation style is kind of SD, but not super, super deformed. Just like...
Okay, so like, SD meaning...
Like, they have fatter faces. They're not very elongated. They're not super humanoid.
Okay,
like,
not
super like
humanoid,
like Azumanga
but...
Daioh, if you want to...
Okay, yeah.
Like, that kind of style.
Gotcha.
Of animation.
Yep.
And her life is pretty good. She has a happy family, a hardworking mom. You know, she's got two best friends.
Two best friends going
yep, full of holiday cheer. And Sayaka and Hitomi. And life is pretty simple. She works really hard to try to get good grades in school. That doesn't always happen. So it seems like a slice of life anime right off the bat.
Right.
But it's not.
But no.
No. So mm-mm. One day, a new transfer student shows up. And her name is...
A new student arrives.
Exactly. Still slice of life. And I think her name is Haruma. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's got long black hair. And she comes off very cold and distant, and she kind of, like, instantly targets Madoka as, like, her interest. Like, everyone else is kind of talking to her, and she's just like, leave me alone, I've got business, blah, 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 blah. So you kind of think queen bee bitch attitude.
Right.
And she approaches Madoka, and she's just like, are you happy with your life the way that it is? You know, and Madoka's like, yeah, I love my family and my friends, and my life is pretty good. And she's like, don't ever do anything to upset that, because you'll lose everything. In my mind, I'd be like, creepy bitch, why are you trying to tell me how to live my life? I'll do whatever the fuck I want. But, you know, Madoka's nice, so she's like, thanks for the advice, and whatever. Mind you, Madoka had this dream before school where the world was literally obliterated, and she actually saw Hamura fighting this dark, shadowy-esque thing. And there was this cute little familiar that kind of looked like a cat... Fox bunny thing?
A cat fox bunny thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Put that
in.
Put
so
that
put all
on
that
your
in
card.
A blender, mix it up, and then
a
put
cat
it in a
fox
mold.
Bunny, you forgot ghost thing.
It's
you know
kind
of
ghosty.
You know what it kind of reminded me of?
What did it remind you of?
It kind of reminded me of Mew.
Yes.
With from Pokemon.
Yes.
White.
Yes, white okay. Mew.
Like if. That had merged with, remember the Odama that were in Princess Mononoke?
Yes, okay.
That's, like, if those two things got busy in a Burger King bathroom.
Why does it have to be a Burger King bathroom?
Because that's just how the Humpty Dance song goes. What do you
well,
want?
Well, you don't want to get down in a McDonald's bathroom?
No.
Well, I mean, with
Burger
clowns
King,
around,
first of
I wouldn't.
All, at the time, the Burger King bathrooms were bigger than the McDonald's bathrooms.
True that, because they don't want you fucking annoying.
Look, you almost censored yourself and then you stopped.
I did, but then I didn't. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so if those two things got busy in a Burger King bathroom, like, that's what...
Yeah, all right. I feel like Cube, and that's its name. Yes. The familiar's name is Cube. If it was a... It should have been a Pokemon. I'm surprised that it's not, because it's cute enough to be one.
I feel like it kind of was.
It could have been a cute... It could have been one. It should be one in the future.
I feel like it was the advanced evolve form.
Game Freak, get on that. Make Cube a playable Pokemon in the next game.
No, I feel like it was, like, the advanced...
No.
Personal form of, like, a Togepi.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's what I feel
like.
That's
not Togepi's...
Think about what it does. That's kind of a natural evolution.
No.
Nah.
Anyway.
Fuck you, I'm right.
So anyway, so Cube in this dream kind of approaches Madoka and he's like, you know, she's kind of worried that this girl that she has not met yet is going to die. And Cube is like, well, she could die. She has no one to help her unless she became a magical girl. And I want you to make a contract with me. And that's when she wakes up. So anyway, she keeps seeing Cube around, like roaming around, and it's kind of following her. And eventually...
Kinda.
It's stalking her. It's stalking the fuck out of her. And he kind of comes on to her and says, look, you have amazing magical potential. And if you contract
like
with...
off the charts.
Yeah, like, it's ridiculously crazy how...
You're, like, so magical right
you're
now.
You're, like, you have so much magic potential.
Like, no, really, though. You have, like, so much magic.
Like, I can smell it.
Like, all over
you. Over you. And he's, you know, and in... In lieu of unlocking the magical potential, Cube is a contractor to the point where he can grant you, or whatever magical girl, any miracle for the exchange of this unlocking of this power. But on the precipice, or at least on the consequence of, you have to battle witches once you have this potential unlocked. So that's your price. Ooh, mystical magical powers and a miracle. But you have to fight these witches until you can no longer fight them.
And your first thing is, like, fight a witch. I can fight a witch.
I can fight witches.
Really,
that's not so bad.
That's not scary. That's not bad. Like, I can do this. Like,
yeah. So it sounds too good to be true.
And that's because it is.
And that's because it really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, and like I said, I don't want to overly spoil a lot of stuff, but you find out that Haruma is trying so hard to keep Madoka from contracting with Cube. I'm not going to tell you why. I'm not going to explain any of that.
Nope.
However...
But this, she's trying.
She's trying so hard to... Yeah, like, talk about...
Well, wait, if you don't talk about the whys, then you're not going to say anything that'll make anybody cry.
I'm trying not to cry. Anyway. So I'll just put it to you like this. Where someone like me who loves magical girl anime and loved Sailor Moon and really never thought about, holy shit, they really go through a lot. Like, they really negate the sense and the humanity of being a magical girl, because in the end, you know they're gonna win, no matter what. In this series, winning takes a completely different tone. Winning doesn't necessarily mean happy ending.
And it also actually has a price. And that's one of the things that doesn't happen in most of your typical magical girl animes, again, because of the audience. There really isn't any price to pay. You know, you lose a friendship, but by the end of the series,
you get it back.
You know, whereas in this series, that happy ending
never
is not guaranteed. There is a outcome.
There is a result.
Yep. Yes, there is a result. That's the best way to say it. There,
yeah,
is a result.
There is a result. Whether it's fortunate for you or not,
and
it doesn't particularly matter.
And the result is final.
Yes, and that's that.
So there is finality to this. Whereas, you know, in all your other series, you know, like you said, in Sailor Moon, you know, Serena died all kinds of different ways.
Oh,
in
man.
Different,
well,
arcs.
Her like, her Serenity Crystal would, like, explode, and she would, like, die, and then her friends would cry on the broken pieces and magically melt it together through the power of fucking friendship, and then she'd come back. I'm like, no, bitch, you're dead.
Okay.
Bitch, you're dead.
All right, and then, I mean, in Cardcaptor Sakura...
Ooh, Happiness got... The nothing card absorbed nothing until it realized that it wasn't really a nothing card. It was truly the love card, and it just didn't understand itself, and then it restored all happiness and love in the world. Because, yeah, you could talk. You can talk to entities like that and reason with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. Okay.
Or then you've got freaking, what, Kaleidostar, where you just sit there and you float in the air suspended by the strings of angels, and you don't fall to your death ever.
Don't talk shit about the legendary maneuver.
That was the angel maneuver.
Okay.
Legendary great maneuver was a balance, was suspending in circle in air with no net.
The legendary maneuver, you shouldn't talk shit about the angel
maneuver. They should all be sex maneuvers.
And you should absolutely not talk shit about the phoenix
maneuver.
That shit was awesome.
It was.
You can't even, like, try to
You can't top it.
You can't hate on a phoenix maneuver.
But I'm just saying, and I think that's one of the reasons why I really like Kaleidostar. Layla
cut her fucking hair, man.
Like, I feel like that's why I really liked Kaleidostar, because it was a girl empowerment anime without the true, like, it had magic, but it didn't have, like, you know, hearts and stars magic. It had determination and drive.
Right. It had
a different type of empowerment.
All of the positive results that were driven
by a magical girl anime without the magical part.
We're driven by hard work, okay? She didn't just get a maneuver. You saw Sora try and try and fail and just keep getting back up and keep trying.
And trying until she nailed it.
Until she got it. Yeah. She didn't just inherently have this gift and this magic. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why we both gravitated towards that.
Yeah.
But with this series, for sure,
this one still made me gravitate to it, absolutely, because like I said, you know, like we've been talking about, it really does put in perspective that there is a result, there is a consequence, and there is possibly an aftermath. Like, there is a steady group and line of events, and however you play it, not everybody gets what they want.
I think the thing about Madoka that really makes it that, oh my god, I must watch this series all the way to the end, once you start it, is the way that it flows. It does not flow like a pie in the sky magical girl series. It really runs more like a dramatic series.
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
That just happens to have as its gimmick, as its core,
magical girls, young girls.
A magical girl storyline. Okay, I feel like if you took the magical girl part out of it and you just made it an ability, or you made everyone that's in it a superhero, it would still work. If you just made them a action hero, like a Lara Croft,
you could even make these people, you could make the characters boys.
Yeah, you would still have the same thing that you would gravitate towards to it because of how the story is arced. And really what it falls down around is friendship.
You know what? I think I'm going to talk about it and spoil it in a way, I think. I think it's going to happen.
You want to spoil it before 30 minutes in?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. All
right, so, and I don't normally like to do this, but here it goes.
Spoilalicious is in the building, people.
So this power, this magical girl, and this evolution between, there always having to be magical girls fighting witches. This has been going on since the dawn of time, which they do through really beautiful landscapes, you know, through witches' labyrinths, which I'll talk about in a second, will show tidbits of that. So this is not just a listen, understand, and comprehend anime. This is a, you need to visually be aware of everything that's being shown to you, because not everything is going to be laid out to you in a sentence or two. Like, a lot of it is perception, and if you're looking for it, you're going to get it. Otherwise, you're going to just think, oh, well, that was kind of pretty and unsettling, but not in a gory type of way.
No, it's definitely very mental.
It is yes, it's a mental mindfuck. Like, if you took the Gonketsuo, I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah, Kantomari Crystal.
I mean, it didn't have, this is not nearly as strongly visual as that is, but it has a flair to that where they experimented with different art styles in every episode, which I really liked because it was refreshing. It kept me engaged in what I was watching.
Yes, the Witch's Labyrinth are definitely,
the witches are very
visually attractive.
Attractive and unsettling, but not in that horrific way. But this isn't how the rest of the anime looks, so they want me to pay attention type of way. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But it's executed really well.
Very
well.
It's
not the same one over and over again.
They're all very different. And that's supposed to speak to the character of the witch that they're fighting. And this anime was actually based off of a PlayStation P, a PSP game. And there have been several games of it, and they're working on another light novel for it as we speak. So we'll see more of this magical girl universe that is so diverse from all the other ones. But anyway, So Cubey is an incubator and a contractor, and it's his job to find girls with strong magical potential, make these contracts for them, and make them fight these witches. The twist of the matter is that these witches, that these girls, and we come across, we get to know five of them in this
five of the magical girls.
We meet five magical girls in this anime series, but all of them are fighting other witches that were magical girls. So magical girls essentially become witches through some mean. Now, I mean, when you're a magical girl and you're fighting, you're not really thinking about your body and the sensitivities, because, you know, these are all like middle school girls. They're not very muscular. They're not very fast, which is why I think they all manifest a power based on the wish that they make. So if your miracle was to heal someone, you might heal a lot faster and be able to heal others. But you take damage pretty hard because you have no offensive. So you have to be really careful as to how you state your wish when you contract with Cubey.
But Cubey doesn't tell you that.
No.
No.
Cubey is very, it's really eerie because he's got a very light and it seems like warm voice. But the more you listen to him and the more you listen to what he says to you, you realize it's the coldest piece of dialogue anyone could ever say to a person. And you're dealing with middle school girls who are in the middle of the most emotional time, topsy-turvy of their lives. And sadly, Cubey, or Cubeys, because there's more than one of them, they're aliens.
Yep.
And
it's always aliens, people.
It's always aliens.
Every fucking time.
Yes. And aliens. And these aliens have been searching, because on their planet, they don't have emotions, which is why they're very curt. Direct when they do give you information. They don't offer information to you because you don't ask for the information, which I think is another key point that they wanted to ask, that a lot of these girls were willing to contract with this entity they knew nothing about for a wish and then didn't realize what they were really getting for their wish or what they had to give up for
what they
their
would
wish.
Have to sacrifice. You know, and it's one of the things, it's a theme of the series that I don't think A lot of people
got right away.
Well, or even factored in, but it really is about, you know, what do you have to sacrifice to get a wish? You know, there's what you work for and you make happen, and then there's what you wish for, but what costs you more?
Yeah, which...
You know, it's a great question.
A very great question to ask middle school girls.
But no one thinks about.
No one ever thinks
about.
Mostly
because I went to, like, a really deep place with the series.
Oh, yeah, so did I. I mean, and it threw me for a loop because, for one, middle school girls, back when I was a middle school girl.
Back in the day.
Which was a Wednesday, as we all know.
Yeah, back in the day is always a Wednesday.
If I go back to middle school me and a mystical, cute, anime-ish cat, dog, fox thing was like, oh, I'll give you a wish if you fought with, like, anything in the world. Oh my God, I would completely, without thinking, utter something really stupid because I was dumb back then. And I would have probably grown to regret it. And you actually deal with a lot of regret and remorse and, oh my God, what have I done in this series? And the indifference of a girl trying to decide if she can find something that she's that strongly, like, bounded to make a contract and sacrifice everything and nothing at the same time. So let me talk a little bit about that sacrifice. So yeah, Cubey, contracts, you get a wish, that's great. And then all of a sudden, you're able to battle these witches that do a whole lot of damage to a regular human person, but magical girls seem to not take nearly as much damage. And you want to know why that is?
Oh, here we go.
Ah, because that lovely contract with Cubey, that cute little mouse, rat, chihuahua, fox, demon thing, alien thing, rips out your soul.
Yeah.
He rips out your soul and puts it in a gem.
Soul gem.
Your soul gem.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you have to protect this gem, because if it breaks,
yeah,
if it shatters, you're dead. Yeah, because your soul is encased in this gem.
Yeah.
So the detachment of your soul from your body makes it so that you can endure the pain. Because otherwise, your soul interprets, that's, you know, in this universe, your soul is what interprets all that stuff in your brain and your nerves to connect to pain. And they had a great episode where they actually showcased this.
Yeah.
Which put the fear of, not necessarily God, but put a fear in me that I've never had before after watching a series.
She was afraid.
Oh my God, I was. I was like, oh my God. That could, you know, if that could be proven, that's scary. But regardless, And the whole purpose of fighting these witches is that once you defeat a witch, you get their grief seed. Because witches in this universe, they're the things, the elements that produce murders and suicides and depression and all those dark, sad, unhappy, pleasant thoughts that we have in life. And
witches are basically responsible for the evils in the world.
In the That's world. The way that the misery series... and the misfortune and all that has something to do with a particular witch. And each witch has a particular theme, which they don't even really showcase in this first season, but there's going to be a second season. But they do a better establishment of that in the games. But anyway, once you defeat a witch and you get their grief seed, you're then able to absorb the darkness. Because by using your abilities that you get through, you know, making this contract, you are essentially using the lightness, the purity of your soul to fight. So the more you fight these witches, the more black your soul gem becomes. If you don't purge that darkness from your soul, you will eventually corrupt and become a witch. And depending on how much magical potential you had at the start will determine how powerful of a witch you'll become. Which is why it's so crucial for Madoka to not become a magical girl, because she already has outstanding magical potential. So therefore, she would in turn become the most powerful witch if she ever corrupted. So in the series, like I said, I'm going to spoil it, Haruma has abilities that relate to time. And
Which she's been using.
Yep. And, you know, when you first meet her, she seems all cool, calm, and awesome, and she totally matches her name, but you find out that this is, like, the fourth timeline that she's entered. She's been in this scenario in this month for four times now, because she's trying to keep Madoka from becoming a magical girl, because in the end, no matter what she does differently, Madoka always somehow dies or turns or kills everyone.
You know, I mean,
you know, and not without, you know, first becoming friends with Haruma and, you know, encouraging her to be more powerful and assertive in her own life. So she wants to keep her friend from making this big choice, this horrible choice. Not to mention in the third timeline, Madoka pretty much pleads with her to go back and convince the Madoka of the next timeline to never do it. And she's trying so hard. And Madoka, every chance, it seems like Madoka's ready to make a contract. Haruma shows up like, bitch, what did I tell you? I told you no. Why are you not listening to me? And, you know,
don't
and
do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's so good. You know, and you get a couple of magical girls who are really in it for themselves. And you actually get to look at why they're in it for themselves. And it's not just a big, ridiculous, oh, I just want to be the most powerful magical girl ever. Like, a lot of them have come from this place of pure intention.
Well, the thing is, every girl who made a wish in earnest. Okay, they made a wish for something bigger than themselves. Not a single one of them made
a wish
for themselves. So the wish came out of a very pure place of wanting to help, which is why many of them are so powerful. But still, the thing that was most interesting to me about this series was that the purest of all wishes was the one that Madoka makes. And I think that that's part of the reason why she's such a powerful witch, or has the potential to be such a powerful witch, is because every single time she makes the wish that she makes is so selfless.
It's completely selfless.
That's why she ends up being so powerful.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this, and then I'll just wrap up. So, Madoka's wish, which we don't even get to see until the last episode of the first arc, which is, like I said, 12 episodes. So, episode 12, that's where we get it.
Yep.
Because shit's gone to hell. Haruma thinks she could take on the current most powerful witch, which is...
Walpurgis Night.
Yeah. Which, apparently, if you actually look up what that was, there was a mountain in Germany.
Yep.
Where it was said that that's where witches would meet. To have, like, witch orgies and do powerful spells and shit. Like, that was their meeting place. That's where the witches went to go hang out. And this witch is, it's really, her theme was helplessness. So no matter what you did, she got stronger and you really couldn't fight against her. And there have been several timelines where all the girls were present and they still could not take her on or do any real damage to her. However, Haruma's getting beat the fuck up and pretty close to death. And she realizes that she's played more of a role in Madoka's demise than anyone, which I'm sure really kind of sucks. I've never
been... Yeah, when you think about it, and you're like, I'm doing all this to save you, and really, and all I've done of a sudden, I have even... the realization that, oh, shit.
I am one of the sole reasons that this is going to happen to
you. It's kind of me.
It's not even kind of.
It's me.
And her leg is broken. She's like on the precipice of death, and her soul gem is just getting darker and darker. And Madoka is there, and she's like, it's enough. This is enough. And she makes her contract with Kyubey, and she pretty much wants to take all the grief away from all of the magical girls. That is her wish. So all of a sudden she becomes, you know, her magical stuff. She gets her cute outfit. She gets her little bow, and she's able to transcend time and space to all the current magical girls, some of the past magical girls who were going to start switching into witches, and she just takes their grief from them. And some of them, through the interim of that, do die. They make it very visual, so you don't really understand, because some of them fade away right after that.
Yep.
But some of them end up remaining and just, you know, don't have to pay that price for being a magical girl. And all that grief gets housed in Madoka. So through all of that, she cannot exist anywhere but this one space out in, like, space, literally. And she's considered the goddess of all magical girls from the past, present, and future. Because sadly, they don't go away just because she absorbs their grief. She's like this giant basket. She's this big hope. She's like a Pandora's box, if you will.
Yep.
For magical girls. And, you know, and Harumi is like, no, I don't want this to happen. And she's like, one, it's already done. And two, you know, through doing this, I now know who you are and I know what you've done for me. She's like, and you've done all of this for me, and now it's time for me to pay, you know, to pay it forward and pay it back. And it is completely selfless. Though, I mean, sadly, even through removing all that grief and misfortune from the world and time, there are still pockets of it that are emanating, because humans still somehow manifest misfortune and grief. Right. So it's not from the witches anymore, but it's still present in the world. So, and that's where I think the second arc is going to take off from, is how they're going to deal with that manifestation of grief and fear. And it's absolutely beautiful. It is beautiful in a sad way, which I don't think is necessarily wrong, because I think it gives us a better perspective as to what we're watching now. And they can take a genre that has been typecast for years and put that spin on it to make you go, whoa.
Yeah, the thing about Madoka is it definitely makes you think twice about how you define the genre.
Yes.
Because up until it, the formula was very straightforward. It didn't vary. And this definitely takes the formula and
spins it. This took the left instead of the right.
It puts it on its head and allows you to go, okay, well, magical girl genre doesn't have to be all saccharine. It can have seriousness. It can have consequence. It can have...
It can deal with darker issues.
It can without be making darker. It campy. Without being campy or without being something else or having to become something else.
In order to deliver it. So if you have the chance... And you're looking for something to really make you think. Because, I mean, it made me go off. I was like, I want to know about all the other witches. I want to know, you know, because in the game you fight more than just the two that you get to actually see in the series. There are so many more. And in the next bunch of games that come out, a lot of the girls that we have now been exposed to in this anime have become witches by one mean or another. And I don't know too much about that, but I've done research. And it really made me think, like, oh my god. Like, how could that be played up?
She was like,
magical girls. Oh, my god. Exactly. So if you have a Hulu account or you have a Crunchyroll account and you're looking for something to make you think,
really make you think. Yeah, because if you don't want to think, don't watch it.
Then don't watch this.
It's not for you.
Not for you.
No.
But go and check it out. And I mean, I was talking to one of our fan friends, because she's both.
She's
a friend fan. She's a friend first and a fan second.
So she's a fran?
Fran. Yes, a fan. And I was really sad because literally it blew my mind. Like, I had to marathon it in that day. I got it done in one day, which is ridiculous for me.
And not
she knew,
really.
And she knew...
You ain't got no job.
She knew off the bat what I had been watching, because she had just started watching it. And I'm like, we can't talk about it until you watch all of it. And literally, the minute she did, we just had this big discussion, which was great. It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So...
If you keep saying beautiful a lot.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful.
I mean,
well, because it's not sexy. It's not sexy at all, but it's beautiful and it's humbling in its beauty. So go check it out.
It's like a bag dancing on the wind.
It's the most beautiful bag I've ever seen.
It's like, it's dancing with me.
Anyway, it's on Hulu. It's on Crunchyroll. And I check it out. Really, earnestly, check it out.
Earnestly? What if you're not an earnest?
Then just check it out.
Okay.
What about you, Ninja? What is on your frontier?
I, Panda, yes. have been doing a couple of things. The first one, which originally was going to be what we did this week, but then things popped up and didn't happen, was I've been playing Rock Band Blitz.
Rock Band Blitz!
Now, we talked a bunch about Blitz before it came out.
Rock Band is awesome!
Because, well, I more so than you.
She really loves it!
The Rock Band.
Wee-wee!
Wee-wee! A lot. And, for us...
She got the keytar!
I do, in fact, have the keytar. We got to spend a little time with Blitz at PAX East.
Yep.
And we fell in love with it because for a long, long time, we both had the same desire. More Amplitude, please!
Okay, thanks, Amplitude, for my computer gaming, please!
Alright, so when we heard about Blitz basically being the controller blade...
I literally jizzed in my pants, guys.
Really? You were gonna... You shared that with the people? Like, I thought we agreed that we would never talk about that.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem telling people. Because if I'm that excited that that's gonna happen, then obviously it's something that I should share?
No, Panda. That's the thing that you keep to yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't.
No.
Public knowledge now.
Yeah, you did not.
But anyway, you played a little bit more than I have. I did, you know, once you got it. Dabbled in it a little bit, but
right.
you played it more than me. So what's the deal with the Blitz?
Well, here's the deal with the Blitz. So pop the Blitz in, and basically Blitz is Amplitude ish. For Rock Band. Yeah, it's ish. It's not exactly. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But it takes the track pack that comes with the game. It is an arcade game, so you can download it through the PSN network, or you can download it through Xbox Live.
Oh.
It's 1,200 points on the Xbox Live. I forget what the price point is on the PS3, but I want
to say... It's some amount of dollars.
So I want to say that it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $14.99 on the PlayStation Network.
Okay, $15.
Okay. And what it allows you to do is to take your existing DLC, your existing track information, almost all of your stuff that you have in your Rock Band. Some things aren't yet ported, aren't yet available to be tracks in Rock Band Blitz, but it basically gives you, for each track of instrument that there is in the game, a track which has two notes, a left note and a right note, that you have to explode in order to earn points. Now, in a Rock Band game where you're exploding those things in order to make the music happen, and if you don't hit anything, no music happens, that's not how Blitz works. What Blitz does is for the tracks that you focus on and you clear, you get multipliers. If you clear all the tracks with the same level multiplier, you open up a new cap, meaning how high your multiplier can go for all your points that you earn in that phrase of the song. You get all the way to the end of the song, and you get rated both on the points that you accrued for the entirety of the song, as well as your regular star rating, just like you would, so on a scale of 1 to 5, for your regular Rock Band track, as if you played it with an instrument in the game.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting is that you earn coins in the game, and those coins allow you to purchase additional power-ups that you can deploy to help earn more points. The whole point of the game is to earn points.
More points!
So you don't have to play, and you can't, all of the instruments at the same time like you would in the regular Rock Band. What you do have to do, however, is you have to concentrate equally on all the instruments that make up the song so that all of them have the same multiplier when you come to the end of the phrase, so that you can have the same level of cap for all songs. Otherwise, you're playing catch up.
Did you play catch up a lot?
No, I'm a boss.
That's not true. When we were playing it together, our eyes were being raped.
Okay, well, I was going to get to that, but, you know, I want people to think that I'm, you know, badass.
They know that you're badass because you're related to me.
But you keep dashing my fucking dreams, man.
It's what little sisters and siblings do.
Oh my god, you suck so bad, but I love you. So, love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
So, as Panda outed me on, when we first picked up the game.
Hey, I outed together, both of us. I said raped our eyes.
Yeah, but you didn't. You weren't talking about your skills at the time.
My skills right now currently suck.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. So here's what happened. We load up the game. We jump right in. We pick a couple of songs that we know, figuring it would help. Since we knew the songs, we'd have an idea of what the tempo would be, so probably what the note piece would be.
Not really.
When you first start the game, the controller setup is in the natural setup, which has you play the left note by slapping the left analog stick and the right note with the right stick and deploying your triggers with the X button. So those are your power-ups. I'll talk a little bit about those in a second. And switching tracks using the right button.
Right.
This is not the controller setup for Ninja. And it showed in the less than stellar performance, shall we say, of trying to complete the track. Now, the gorgeous thing about the game is you can't fail out of a track. Okay, the track keeps running along whether or not you hit any kind of notes.
Okay.
All right? But it's best if you focus on everything. So we
focus on all the things?
All the things. So we ran through a couple of songs each, and because things are moving so fast and there's a lot of blinking that's going on, so absolutely, if you suffer from any kind of seizures, this is not the game for you.
Not for
you! Do not pick this up, because as Panda, you know, kind of mentioned earlier, we ended up with a state of, oh my god, I haven't blinked for like a minute.
I have not blinked. You play something so I can regain some sanity.
You know, it kind of reminded me like when we first picked up, you know, Guitar Hero, and you would play for a couple hours and then everything would kind of have like a motion path going on. Stuff that was inanimate, when you looked away, it was still moving.
Yes.
Like that's...
Yep, I've had that move.
That's what kind of happened after first picking up Blitz. But then we realized we could change the controller layout to the existing ones that are in there. So you can't map buttons specifically where you'd like, which drives me crazy because I really would prefer to
play. Oh my god, that would make the game too easy.
I'm sure it would. And so there are things that are built in, like having to use a set controller style. I ended up going up with Typewriter, which allows you to use the A and B buttons on the Xbox controller, what would in essence be the X and O buttons. X and O.
Or
on top. Yeah, X and O. And the D-pad to navigate tracks. So you're spending time in the game hopping from instrument track to instrument track, basically building up your multiplier, playing the left and right notes in time to the track, to clear and get the most points. So it's a point run. You compare scores, and your scores are on the leaderboard to your friends, as well as the entire world. So you rank up, and you earn coins. So as you complete songs with better completion rates and higher multipliers and streaks that go on, you earn more coins. More coins allow you to use more power-ups for your next track. Okay, so ultimately your goal is to get the most points to show up on the leaderboard and to clear the song with close to 5 stars, if not 5-starring the song. That's Blitz
at
its core.
So what about power-ups? Do we get any, like we used to in Amplitude, like the Buster notes or the rewinds or the reversals or...
So I haven't got any rewinds or reversals, but we do have, like Buster notes, they're called Burst notes. And so that's one of the multipliers that you can get that you can spend your coins on and use for a track. And what it does is it bursts all the notes on all the tracks really quickly near you. So it's really a key tool to use if you know you're going to have a song that's a little more complicated, because burst notes appear across all the tracks. So you can actually string them together and knock out huge tracks of notes on the song if you're paying attention to where they're showing up on the tracks. So you find that your eyes are doing four different things at the same time, because you're tracking to identify the pattern for your instrument. You're tracking to see whether or not you're close to moving the multiplier up for that instrument or not. You're tracking to see what the thickness of the track is, because that lets you know whether or not you've concentrated on enough and it's equal to all of the other ones or not. And so you're checking to see what tracks you need to focus on to equal everything out. Plus, you're trying to identify what power-ups that you can knock off, because some power-ups you knock off for completing, just like in Rock Band where you built up energy so that you could go into overdrive. You have energy notes and blitz, and those allow you to deploy certain types of power-ups, like Bandmate, which will let the AI basically act as you on a track, so you can have it play that track for you while you go off and focus on another one. So this is great if you have a track that really needs a lot of attention to be built up to, like, the rest of your tracks.
Right.
But there are other ones that frankly, now that I've unlocked, I absolutely don't want to use, like the pinball, which basically launches a giant purple pinball up the note track, and what you have to do is, as the pinball comes back down, you have to focus on and execute notes in the track that it comes down in to basically bumper it back out. The more that it stays live and rolls over notes, it bursts them. So you can get really interesting multipliers if you can keep it going. However,
but you're still trying to focus on all those other things on other things
on top of that. It is the most, like, mind-fuckingly, bogglingly, I can't keep up with it.
That does not sound like fun. That sounds like torture.
It is. So I have no intentions of using the pinball power-up ever again. What's your favorite? I have two. I like Bandmate because it lets me execute well. Because if you build up a nice chunk of energy, you basically can use Bandmate to level almost twice a track.
All right.
So I like that a lot. It allows me to go after some of the more difficult tracks, because you can sort the tracks based by difficulty. So ones that'll be more difficult to earn decent points in.
Ooh, all right.
So that's a really helpful one. I also like the power-up, the burst one, because that really helps on the score piece, which, you know, if you're going after coins so that you can unlock more power-ups or use more power-ups on a track, because you're limited to using three power-ups, one from each of the main categories, on the track. So you have a note power-up, something that attacks just notes, you have a thing that attacks multiplier, and then you have a thing that attacks your synchronicity through your tracks.
Okay.
I find that Bandmate, the burst note piece, and the piece that gives you double the points for bass or for drum are really the ones that I go to all the time. What really kind of surprised me, because it's definitely a fun pickup game for like 20 minutes of diversion and then I jump out of it.
Because your eyes would be like, why are you doing this to me?
But what surprises me is that there was this whole hubbub about the coin system and how you earn coins in the game.
So you earn them by completing...
Yeah, so you earn them by completing the track and your efficiency on doing so. And so you don't get to keep your coins from track to track, because what happens is you end up spending them to get your multipliers for the next song that you go into. And so if you don't do well in that next song, you don't earn coins. So you may find yourself in a situation that you don't have enough coins to use a power-up. So
well,
it's just
that
straight...
sucks sideways.
Well, that's what a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, complain to the Harmonix team about. And I don't agree with that, because as long as you're executing fairly well, you'll earn enough points, or at least you would have... earn enough points to do at least the 2x multiplier.
Okay.
Which costs like 100 coins. So just for completing a song, you get like 25. So you may have to do 4 songs if you completely suck and at all in order to get more points to get another multiplier. So because there were so many people that made such a ruckus about the coin system in the game, Harmonix actually updated the coin system. So once again, you know, that thing that a bunch of people complained about as far as, you know, the Mass Effect team having to go back and rejigger the ending of the game because so many people cried out, you now have another instance where
so
many
people
cried out, and now a game that was designed to be challenging, okay? It wasn't designed to be just Fun in the Sun. It was designed to be a challenge. Now, the biggest piece of the challenge has been pulled out. So, to give you an idea, the way that I was executing the game, I was running an average of being able to maintain 500 coins from song to song. So, I earned enough during the execution of the song to keep 500 coins going at all times.
Okay.
Since the Harmonix released the update, which you didn't have to update the game. It was all on the back end, so the user never saw anything that happened. I now have, and I have only played twice since the update. No, let me take that back. I've only played once since the update.
Okay, once since the update.
For about 30 minutes. All right. I have 3,000 coins.
That's a lot of coins.
Okay, so it's really pretty much taken the, nope, you'll never have to play a song without a power-up.
Ever again.
Ever again, because you're going to get 100 coins just for completing the song.
Wow.
Like, it took, they neutered it. They took the balls off.
They took the balls off.
Because people complain, oh my god, it's too hard, I can't earn coins.
The balls, they're too big.
What's wrong with you, I can't earn coins.
Oh my god. See, and this is what, we talked about this back when yep. Mass Effect 3 happened. That yep. Now people are going to always open their damn mouths.
Yep, instead of getting their game up and playing and executing better.
Instead of focusing on the new skill or honing the skill that they already had and mastering it, now we're watering it down.
Yep. So, that made me sad because
Are you guys happy now?
Are you not entertained?
I am not amused.
This displeases me. So, I think that it's absolutely worth the 1,200 points that I paid for it. I got it on the Xbox because I have my Rock Band on the Xbox and I wanted my track packs that I had.
Oh god, how long did that upload take?
It wasn't bad, but it was like a half hour.
You have a lot of music, bro.
I have a lot of DLC in
that
game. So much
DLC.
Like, my Rock Band is like, whoa.
It's like beefy.
It's like, whoa. But ultimately for me, First of all, if you enjoyed Frequency and Amplitude, it's a must for you to have because
yes.
It's the closest thing that you're going to be able to do to play those unless you have an old school PS3.
Or you got like an emulator.
You got a good emulator, although the good emulators still have a hard time keeping up with the frame rate. But and you still have your old original discs because you cannot buy Frequency and Amplitude. It's the closest thing that you're going to get to it. It looks good. It has the right arcade feel, sounds fantastic, plays awesome. You know, I didn't need the coin system to be updated, but I'm not gonna shit on it.
That's because you're not a pussy.
I'm not gonna shit on it just because it was. I mean, it does allow me to always have power-ups on a track. But I think as far as, like, competitive play, it then kind of negates where people sit on the leaderboards because those people who already had really great skills, now you're not going to be able to catch them at all because they are always going to have the power-ups and max out. So it takes away, for me, a little bit of the competitive piece of it, but that's okay because I wasn't getting into it to get all competitive anyway. I was getting into it because I love Frequency and Amplitude. I love the team at Harmonix. I think they do great stuff. And I'm really happy with Rock Band Blitz. Like, I'm glad that I own it. I'm glad that I own it. And, you know, it's not often that we get to say that about a game.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Now, number two, we also had Klee Entertainment drop Mark of the Ninja this week. And as we started to sit down for this podcast, I was downloading it. So it'll be the thing that I talk about later this week on the site. Because I've heard a lot about it. I didn't really get to spend any time at E3 at all, and it made me sad in the pants area. But I've heard a lot of good things about it, and what ultimately for me I'm finding is in between my big AAA titles, I'm spending more and more time on arcade titles. Arcade titles are getting really strong. The independent guys are getting really strong. Klee Entertainment, if you're not familiar with them by name, they're the guys who did Shank and Shank 2.
Shank was awesome.
They also did the N+ game.
They did?
Yeah, that's Klee Entertainment.
Surprise!
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really all the stuff that I have for the people peoples on the people peoples this week. So I guess it's time to wrap this show up by telling you, if you want to keep in the know about what's going on with all of the team member here, then you want to make sure that you check out the stuff that we write when it first hits the web over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where we put all the stuff that we're writing about and thinking about and reviewing and all of that goodness over there. You can also check us out on our site as well, because we've got unique stuff that we put there, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That's esh.co. The short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments go to our Facebook page, because that's where we reside. And you can talk to me.
Or me.
Or her, but mostly me.
And the rest of the team.
But mostly me.
I think we get it, Panda.
Yes. But, like we said, we have a podcast, and it happens to be on iTunes.
That's right. You can search the iTunes Music Store, the iTunes Podcast application, or the Microsoft Marketplace for Electric Sisterhood. Hit the subscribe button and make sure that you get our podcast fresh and hot for your ear hole goodness satisfaction. By using those things. But if you're not living La Vida I, or you don't have a Zune or Dig, the Microsoft Marketplace, then
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, then you should look for all of our cool friends who hang out with us sometimes.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. No, 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 no. We put out brand new podcast episodes on Monday, but you can follow that up with the testosterone to our estrogen over at BostonBastardBrigade.com, where they talk about video games and music and movies and theater and fight stuff and boy stuff.
And they grunt and they have barbecues sometimes. Yeah, and fire.
And they're dudes. And
he's a dude. And that guy, he's a dude too.
Yeah, pretty sure that
they're all dudes.
They're all dudes. Then on Wednesday, for your nerd needs, you know, your gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
I hate when you do that.
Gonna go crazy. You can check out geekagro.com and the podcast over there, which is co-hosted by our homeboy Deuces Wild, talking about gadgets, phones, mobile devices, all that other kind of stuff that we just really don't have enough time to get around to, although we enjoy it. And for your collective needs for the rest of the week, there's all the stuff that we write about, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can interact with us on Facebook, ask us questions, recommend stuff for us to check out, talk to all the team members. You know, it could end up in a podcast. It's cool. Whatevs. There's Twitter, because we're on it, because we're all up in your tubes, people. In your tubes. Twitter.com/NinjaSista. Check out the Land of Esh list. That's everyone that is anyone when it comes to the Land of Esh. Follow them. Your Twitter feed will thank you.
It's thanking you right now.
Mm-hmm. With that said, we've come to the point in the podcast where I go, hey, Panda, what shit you digging this week?
I'm digging happiness.
Really? That's where you're going to go?
And friendship.
So, My Little Pony?
No. And I'm also digging steampunk memorabilia.
Okay.
What are you digging?
I'm digging independent game developers.
Oh my god! There's that thing coming up!
Yeah, it is! It's a thing! It's coming up! So we are going to the independent game convention. It's
the Festival of Indie Games, Boston Fig, y'all!
We are going to be there September 22nd. We are going to cover as much as we possibly can.
So much shit!
So you definitely want to make sure that you pay attention. EGMnow.com/electricsisterhood, September 22nd. We're going to be putting stuff up on the Twitter feeds.
So much detail!
We'll have photos. We expect to spend a lot of time with some really creative people, and I'm looking forward to it, so I'm really digging the fig. I'm so glad that we're having one.
Indie.
And it's going down September 22nd, so
indie.
I'm digging it.
It's sexy, so sexy.
Oh my god, so sexy. Oh my god. It's like so big. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here until next week, people.
Peace!